Hey everybody, it's your boy Buzz from Bulls on Tap and Sox on Tap, brought to you by OnTapSportsNet.com. And I want to talk to you about something. These podcasts are now presented by Manscaped. If you're looking for the best manscaping products on the planet, go to Manscaped.com and browse their awesome selection. The Lawnmower 3.0 brings you 7,000 RPMs of skin-safe technology so you don't nick your balls or any other sensitive areas. Want to keep your boys fresh all day? No problem. Go and pick up the ball toner and deodorant so you're fresh all day long. Go to Manscaped.com and use promo code ONTAP to get 20% off and free shipping and handling on all your manscaping needs. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my dude Goose, aka Bulls Scripted. And we are here after our latest episode of the NBA draft, which was, from what we've been told, negative Nancy and a little bit drunken shenanigans. But before we get into this one, be sure you're going to OnTapSportsNet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at OnTapSportsNet, at BullsOnTap. Follow my dude Goose at BullsScript and follow me at BuzzOnTap. And anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. So give us a 5-star rating and review because that's cool and tough. Goose, I have changed my tone a little bit. Now I am not over the moon about it, but I'm gonna get optimistic here because I have spent the last 3-4 years not optimistic, 5 years not optimistic about the franchise. But if Acme believed in Patrick Williams, then that's the route I'm going to take, like I drunkenly said a million times in our last episode. Obviously, you were not on the same path as that, and I had to get in there a couple times and defend your honor on Twitter. I was like, no, he's really not a negative person. He's just upset because he didn't want this pick. So basically after a week since the NBA draft, how are you feeling? I know it's Tuesday and the draft was last Wednesday, but we're getting into Thanksgiving time, so we wanted to get this episode out. So 6 days removed, Goose. How are you feeling?
I mean, I'm not hungover anymore. I'm not, being a Patrick Williams hater, so to speak, though anything I say to this day is still getting classified as that, which I find slightly humorous. It just feels blah. And yes, I'm fully aware the Bulls didn't have the cap space this offseason. The plan has always been to make big moves next year. Just in terms of this roster, for me to give them more of a positive grade than hiring Billy Donovan and, you know, filling out the staff like every other NBA team has done to this point, it's hard for me to really judge this move until we see what happens. And opposed to just being positive about that because it's a new front office, I'm going to remain skeptical. I wanted AK here. With my limited knowledge of front office personnel, he's the one I picked. He's the one that's here. But that doesn't mean that everything he does, I'm just going to go, hooray, yay, that's the best thing ever. So I guess that's where I stand. I'm more skeptical than optimistic. I wouldn't say I'm pessimistic. It's just weird to be on the opposite side of the fence, having been the positive one about this roster the previous season or two, and now being disappointed that we still have the same roster and everybody else being extremely excited about the same roster just because there's somebody else in charge. So that's what's conflicting for me.
Yeah, so basically getting to what you just touched on about having the same exact roster and not knowing how to handle that. So this is where I was, but even before I got drunk on Wednesday last week, and after, this is where I was. And I took a moment to reflect about everything and think about it. And where I stand right now, honestly, Goose, is we did on this show tout last year that we thought there was good talent here if utilized properly. And that's something that we kind of drove home. Now, there were some players that we weren't into, 100%. You know, we were never sold on Denzel. We were never sold. I mean, we like Shaq. We were never sold on Shaq. I didn't really like Luke Kornet all that much for this team. And you know, there's a couple other guys, obviously. Ryan Arcidiacono, who's a good hustle guy, but not somebody I really want in my rotation for an NBA team. So then I sat back and I kind of thought, Lauri Markkanen wasn't utilized right. And what blows me away about this is how Bulls fans turned on him so quickly but are in love with a guy like Wendell Carter Jr. And I like Wendell, but I can't believe the admiration for Wendell over Lauri when Lauri was averaging 19 and 9. You know, I mean, he showed in his second year that he could be a real fucking weapon if used properly. But again, I'm getting off track here. But again, with this new front office coming in and bringing a dude like Billy the Kid, Billy D in, I think I kind of get what I wanted at an aspect of last year, a real coach to coach this young talent, maybe bring the best out of him and maybe see what they're capable of. Now, I mean, you know how all these episodes were last year. In every description I put on Twitter, it said Jimbo the Clown on it with a little clown emoji. I mean, this guy literally drove us absolutely insane. But with this new coaching staff and the new front office, I'm intrigued. The only big question mark I really find myself at is it's not even the Patrick Williams pick anymore. It's more so of the Zach LaVine, you know, conundrum that this. We both know he's at his highest value he might ever be. And that's right now. And not because of just his play. I'm not saying he cannot replicate a season as he did last year. I'm talking about on the contract, too. People don't talk about that. So that's what I'm a little bit confused about. But I'm just kind of throwing all my marbles in the bag, dude, and be like, all right, you know what? Let's see what this guy can do. Let's see what's up their sleeve. What kind of system they're going to implement? How Arturas is going to help shape out the rest of the roster? I think there's already 13 guaranteed contracts on this roster, if I'm not mistaken. I think, barring major trade, dude, what we see is what we're going to get, and I personally can get with it with Kobe being point guard, Zach being shooting guard, Otto Porter Jr. getting hurt the first game and then partying at a club because we know that's going to happen. And then Lauri Markkanen and Wendell. Like, I can get with that lineup there and then getting Patrick Williams some time. You know, and then you have a guy like Sato coming off the bench. You got a guy like Denzel coming off the bench. It's not going to be sexy. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team with this currently constructed roster because I think there's growing pains. But I've basically, in a nutshell, man, I've come around. I've come around.
Well, I mean, and for us coming around isn't too hard because we were already there last year, even with the shit coach. We had optimism for this team. But from where I sit, the reason you have a new front office, a new coach, and all this is because what you had didn't work. So I can understand assessing the value and all that's fine and dandy, but at the same time, does this not come off as a team in their first year that's buying themselves a year? Because you could be wrong if you trade Zach LaVine or Lauri Markkanen or Wendell Carter Jr. and they end up being an all-star on a different team. You really can't be wrong if you sit here and you ride out what you inherited and they fall off your roster and you don't pay them or somebody else overpays for them and they walk for free. That's not your fault. Those weren't your picks. You didn't trade them for Jimmy Butler. That's my fear. We already watched Chris Dunn walk away, who, at least in terms of win shares, contributed more to this team than anybody last season, even in his limited play, without an offensive game. So, and that's okay. I get it. Chris isn't the modern guy, and my gripe there is more so we didn't get anything. We didn't get a second round pick. We didn't get cap relief. We didn't get anything for Chris Dunn when we could have at least held him hostage for some form of value in return. So are we not in turn doing the same thing here with Lauri Markkanen? Because even if Lauri averages 20 and 10 again, teams would have been trading for one more year on Lauri's rookie contract with the perception that he could do that again and would do that again for them. So even if he's doing it, you've now waited to the trade deadline. This team's getting half a season of Lauri Markkanen. Who's going to trade for half a season of Lauri Markkanen? A contender. That means the best thing you're going to get is a first round pick from 20 to 30. At best, maybe you get two. So if that is the the direction we're heading in, because Patrick Williams might be a power forward or better suited as a power forward than a small forward. And if that's the case, that's fine. Somebody's going to have to be moved on from. But to justify that to me, instead of moving up, instead of moving into that top tier with Lowry, instead of getting a future first round pick in the 20s, that's a tough sell for me. And then the same thing becomes the question for Zach LaVine, because his value right now is that he is an elite shooting guard on a team-friendly contract. Once he's on an expiring contract, even if he surpasses his production last year, his value is not going to get up. He's a one-year rental that teams then know is going to receive a max contract from somebody somewhere else. So it's just a tough sell for me to stay the course, as much as I want to see this team play together and see what they can be. I just don't see the Bulls handing everybody a contract, because if that's what they were going to do, the old front office would still be here, because that's what they would have done.
It's very similar. The playing it safe thing is what you're getting at, and I understand that. It's very similar. It's
No, that's exactly what they would have done. They would have kept signing their contracts, their draft picks, having faith in them, asking too much trade value for them, and getting nothing for them.
I just wonder that if they're actually in a spot where they do see talent here and they really want to evaluate it, and it just they came in at a piss poor time with different kind of the circumstances of the contracts. And that's something that you really need to look at, as you pointed out. It's just, damn, dude, I don't know. I'm not worried about it. I feel like I said, I'm feeling good about it now. I'm in a positive place. I feel like they're gonna be all
I'm
right.
sorry, guys. I'm trying to pull Buzz back to the dark side. I'm just
No, dude, I know you make valid points, though. It's not the dark side. They're literally valid points that you bring up. It's just
Well, no, but I love this team. That's the one thing I don't want to get misconstrued here. I love this team. I love this core. I love these players. At a certain point, though, I just feel we're hurting ourselves in terms of the value that we could have gotten for them instead of just riding this out. And you look at the draft class next year, and the worst thing that happens is Otto Porter gets hurt, and you have Kobe, Zach, Patrick, Lowry, and Wendell starting 50-plus games together and just focusing their development. But I don't think Otto's going to get hurt. I think he wants to get paid again. A lot of people have money next offseason, so I'm expecting the best version of Otto Porter.
yeah, that's a good point too. I was actually just about to bring that up. Is I can make and crack the jokes all day long, but he is gonna probably decline that player option and try to ball out this year because he can be, when healthy, a very valuable 3-and-D wing. Let's talk about a couple other things, man. Let's talk about a guy that's kind of flown under the radar since draft night and everything like that. But that's Devon Dotson. He is a point guard. Went to Kansas, Chicago kid. Obviously, so shout out to him. It's really cool. I'm sure he's super excited to be on his hometown team. So we brought him in, and then the Bulls did make a free agency signing, and that was one Garrett Temple. Now, Garrett Temple has shown in the past that Duke could knock down a three at a decent clip. Didn't have a great year last year in Brooklyn shooting the rock, but he's a vet guy, he's a vet wing that could come in and give you some valuable minutes when needed. Last year, he played 62 games. He averaged 10.3 points per game. He had 3.5 boards and 2.5 assists. Now, this is the alarming part. He shot 37.8% from the field, and from three, he shot 32.9%. His effective field goal percentage was 48.6%. So, not the greatest shooting year for him. But I digress. He's been around the league for a long time, and last year was the first time ever for him being in the league, and he did get come into the league in 2009. Obviously, last year was 2020. Last year was the first time he ever averaged double digit points in a season at 10.3 points per game. So he played a little bit over 27 minutes a game last year. So that was the free agent signing. I'm not upset about it because Garrett Temple is a decent defender as well. He's not going to jump off the sheets at you or anything like that, but he's a decent defender. He can stay in front of you. He's got some lateral quickness to him, and that kind of helps soften the blow of losing a Chris Dunn a little bit. Again, I'm not saying that he's as good as Chris Dunn defensively, but he is a He's 6'5". What was Dunn? 6'4". They're right around the same size. Garrett Temple has a little bit more of an offensive game than Dunn did, and he comes very cheap. So that was the Bulls signing there. Do you have any thoughts on Garrett Temple? I mean, you know, he's a journeyman, man. He's been around the block. I think that he can bring some good things. And it's nice to have veterans mixed with the younger guys to kind of help them along the way. Because as you know, this isn't 2K. As much as we'd love to put all the young talent and let them fucking, you know, grow together and, you know, be successful together, you need a guy like Thad Young or Tomas Satoransky or a guy like Garrett Temple on your squad.
I wish you guys could have seen the little spiral upward thing that Buzz just did. All the young guys growing up together. That was rather entertaining.
Thank you.
I mean, from the vet
I live to serve you, my friend.
from the veteran aspect of things, I think it's a great signing. The Bulls weren't going to make any splashes in free agency. If they were, it was going to come via sign-in trade or just a trade in general. That was the only way they were really capable of shaking this roster up. And at least to this point, there is still time. We have less than 20 games before the first preseason game on December 11th. I don't know if the Bulls play that date, but that is the preseason opening date. So we're closing in there close. So I don't think we're going to see any moves, and that's fine. Garrett Temple is not a bad signing at all. He's kind of your, well, if Denzel Valentine isn't shooting the ball well, he's a better option because he's still a spacing threat with better defense and similar secondary playmaking. So bringing him aboard is a good signing. There's no criticism there. The plan always has been and will be free agency 2021, which the Bulls haven't made any moves that hinder that. He's a one-year contract, I believe. If it was 2 years, I believe it's a team option. So either way, they didn't add any cap to their books for next offseason, so they can create a little bit more flexibility. We'll see what happens with Lowry. He's kind of a key factor in how much space they will have if they have to re-sign him. So, but no, in terms of free agency, I can't be mad at Temple and the Dotson pickup and undrafted free agency. That's awesome. That is the one thing that, outside of adding Billy Donovan, that I can say I've seen this offseason that's encouraging. We brought Mokoka back on a two-way contract again. He's shown some value. Probably could have a spot on this 15-man
I
roster
really hope he
if the Bulls
does.
did. If the Bulls didn't have to hold on to Felicio for the sake of having salary matching with his 7-point whatever mil contract this season, he probably would be on the roster. But similar to baseball, the longer you can keep them in the minor leagues, the longer you can keep them paying them cheap too. So back to my point though. The Bulls' two-way talent looks extremely good this year, which, if you follow the Nuggets closely, you know that Bol Bol and PJ Dozier actually play for the Windy City Bulls because the Nuggets, at this point, don't have a G League team. So, seeing that aspect, trying to incorporate that somewhat farm system like you have in baseball down there in the G League as that league continues to evolve and bring in better talent is encouraging. I did like that aspect, and maybe we end up seeing both on the roster because I'd take Dotson over Archie, but I do think he probably needs a year of development down
Oh,
there.
oh God. Oh
Oh,
God.
yeah.
The Archie guys. The Archie stans are coming. We're fucking canceled. We are literally just got fucking canceled. We're not making it to season two. This is ridiculous. All right. No, and just to get to your point about or your thought about Temple there, it's a 1 year 5 mil for Temple. 1 year
Okay.
$5 million deal for Temple. So no, it does not hurt 2021 free agency. So, you know, again, it's like you said, it's nice to have the vets in there. You know, I don't really like the fact that Denzel's going to be in this rotation, to be honest with you. I know that he could shoot, and he's a little streaky, but he could shoot the rock. But my God, dude, that's all. He is not quick enough to stay in front of anybody. You know what I'm saying? He's not really, when he does create, it's like that awkward creating. Like, you're like, did he just fucking make that pass? You know, it ain't going to happen twice, but you know, he just did it once. You know, and it's just kind of, I didn't really understand that qualifying offer being extended out to him, and that was what was that? It was 4.7 million. So between him and Temple, about 10 million that you're looking at between the two of them. But I digress. I think Denzel's a great guy. He's a terrible rapper, but you know, we'll see what he can make happen. Because I don't know why we decided to keep him around. Honestly, I don't really think that he brings too much value. You know.
I mean, on the Denzel front, I think you you have to value his shooting, even if it's inconsistent. He does have several seasons of 38% or better on volume shooting. I think he's a better playmaker than you're giving him credit for. Now, the thing that does throw me off with him is his extremely awkward floater that I believe there was a game last season where he made like four or five in a row, and it was like, what the fuck is going on right now? Because he's just like lobbing them from the free throw line and further, and then they're just going in, and it's like, you really shouldn't be shooting that, but it's going in, so nobody can yell at you right now. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of what was really out there in free agency, the Bulls were limited to their mid-level exception, operating over the cap with their bird rights of their draft picks or players that they acquired on rookie contracts. And so they were really limited. I don't think there was a better option for the same price out there. And I also think if the intent was to keep Zach LaVine, that I do think him and Denzel have a pretty good buddy-buddy relationship there. So they cut Shaq. Shaq and LaVine were close. You kept Denzel. They want people who can shoot and pass. Those are Denzel's only two skills. So at least he's consistent with the mold of what they said they were looking for.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. One other thing I want to get to here today is Patrick Williams again. I want to circle back to that. Now, did you get a chance? And you know me, I love diving in deep and watching whatever film is available. You know, when you get those extra minutes and you can just chill for a moment. Ren's into the iPad now, my man. So she gets a little bit of iPad time at night. So when she gets that, I can dive in and do my basketball or my baseball. You know, whatever I'm fucking wanting to do that day. And watch some film. I watched the pickup game that he was in with Dinwiddie. Like, not obviously not all of it is on here, but they have some clips. I mean, Diallo's in there, Young's in there, Dinwiddie, and I was surprised to see this kid bringing the ball up the court against NBA players and popping J's in their fucking in their face. Like, this isn't no, you know, have Fred go, this is empty gym shit, you know what I'm saying? But like, this is. I was legitimately shocked, and I should have just fucking texted this to you. I don't know why I didn't, but I
Oh
will.
no, I've watched it multiple times. I've watched his ball handling drills, and it is more comforting to see that than the way he was used at FSU. Because I am kind of tired of people. Did you not watch any FSU games? It's like, no, I really didn't, and I know you didn't either. You just watched the highlights, and you watched the same thing I did. And if you watched that, yeah, your conclusion probably would be that he's a power forward potential. Stretch big as opposed to a wing. Now, you watch this pickup game footage and some of his off-season workouts that he was doing pre-draft that only seemed to come out after the draft, probably because maybe the Bulls and other teams were saying, hey, man, no, keep this. We don't want everybody chasing you. Like, we want a chance at you. It is encouraging. And if he can play the wing, I will be extremely thrilled. If he plays consistent minutes at the small forward for the majority of his career, this will be a steal of a pick because you have a 6'8" forward who does have the versatility to guard at least 3 through 5. So on that aspect, that maybe AK is the genius that most think that he is, and he saw something in these workouts that similar to what he saw with Jokic. People thought that Jokic was just this big overweight guy that wasn't going to be fast enough or athletic enough to compete in the NBA. Maybe AK just saw Patrick's raw athleticism and ball skills and said, dude, you can play anywhere on the floor. And maybe that plays out. And if it does, I'm sure our draft night initial take will come back and haunt us for a while. And I'm more than okay with that. I want to be on Old Takes Exposed for being disappointed in the Patrick Williams pick at 4.
Well, there's nothing wrong with being disappointed about it. Now that we're sober and we can actually fucking have a coherent conversation without me slurring every other word, I mean, I think that it's definitely reasonable that we were all upset about it. And that's because I think that most of us, out of the 25 people that were in there, most of us thought a home run was. I mean, and this could be a home run pick, but maybe something more flashy. Does that make sense? Like something like where it was like, holy shit, man, we did this. Like, you know, just something to break up the monotony, you know, something new, something different. And that's what I was expecting that night. I have, and like I said, I have nothing against Patrick Williams. I mean, I went off on a fucking tangent. He didn't even start in college, you know, and I'm freaking the fuck out or whatever, you know, but that's because, again, it could be a little bit of ignorance on my part because we didn't get a tourney. We didn't get a lot of film on these guys after, I mean, dude, we haven't had shit since March, you know, nothing. And it's hard to evaluate talent, so we're looking at the best that's available. And obviously, the three people that we thought were the best available went 1 through 3. That's what happened. It went Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, LaMelo Ball. Obviously, there was a tiny bit of a fall off from what people have said, but I didn't see Denny falling as far as he did, or Obi Toppin. I mean, those guys were talked about in the top five. You know, so there's definitely a lot of things that have changed that these teams had access to that we didn't, and I understand that. But, I mean, I'll carry the flag with you on Old Takes Exposed or have these Bulls fans get in my DMs and my mentions saying, hey, check, you know, I've had a lot more cool Bulls fans than shitty Bulls fans in my mentions about that. Or even in my DM sending me clips like, hey, did you see this clip? And I'm like, believe me, dude, I watched after we drafted him, I woke up the next day, went to work. I watched every fucking clip that I could possibly watch. Every clip. Anything that was on there. You know, highlights against North Carolina. Highlights against, you know, anybody. Just anybody. And I've come to the conclusion that, yeah, I think he kind of looks more of a 4 than he does a 3. Which, does that spell doom for Lowry or Wendell eventually or whatever? But then after I watched this little pickup shit that he was doing, I don't know, man. He's obviously not a... He's 19. He's not a finished product yet. So something special could happen with him, or he could be, like I did say in the episode, our last episode, maybe he could be the tweener that we didn't want. But obviously there's some talent there for him to be taken that high by a new front office, and especially with like guys like Arturas and Mark Eversley, who have pretty decent track records.
And I guess to that tune, if their only risky play that they made this offseason was taking Patrick Williams at number 4 and they had the confidence to do that, we have to ride with it. I'm not going to start posting pictures with trophies and MVPs and all this shit and call them Kawhi Leonard, because that's just not who I am. I'm going to be real with you. I'm not going to tell you something just because you want to hear it. I hope it happens, and I'm willing to settle for OG or fucking Luol Deng. He's wearing number 9. Like, give me that Deng energy. That would be perfectly fine, too. But in today's modern NBA, Luol Deng might even be a power forward. So we'll see. But, yes, the expectations are what led to the disappointment, like everything in life. We expected something big. We expected a shakeup. We expected a swing. We expected them to capitalize on the one opportunity that we might have at a top 5 talent. And we didn't see it. And we went with an option that could lead to losing current talent on our roster that we didn't move and we could have moved to move up. So staying put almost seems counterproductive there. But is that to say Patrick Williams is bad? No. Is it alarming that, you know, he didn't start in college? Yes, but as many people have pointed out, FSU, like the EuroLeague, has seniority. Freshmen don't start. His coach came out and backed him and said, well, he finished. And if we had the old front office and Jim Boylan was here, I'd be calling that a Boylanism, because that sounds like something Jim Boylan would say. But no, I wish Patrick Williams all the best. If he's a great power forward and that makes Lowry expendable, I hope we get something good for Lowry. If he makes Wendell Carter expendable because he has the versatility to defend 3 through 5 from the 5 and it makes Wendell expendable, awesome. My greatest fear is that we're losing value somewhere in here that we also didn't necessarily gain by taking a risk at 4. So the outcome with Patrick Williams will determine this offseason. That's it. We didn't do anything else. So right now it's a B-, C-plus grade for me. Or where would you put it?
I'm just going to give it a straight up C-plus right now. Because it's on the – and the reason I say C-plus is because I think it's going to be on the – I need to watch him play. I could sit here and talk all the shit that I want to talk. I've watched the film, you know, just film on him in college. I've been watching these little pickup games, noticing things that he's doing playing along with Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, and all those guys that are out on the court. And he obviously has some talent. I'm watching it right now. He's got some handles. He's pulling up in people's faces. What I'm very impressed with is, to be honest with you, Goose, is the catch and shoot. I didn't realize it was that good. And now there are clips in college, but I mean, this is NBA range three, and he's just fucking, dude, just stroking. It looks real good. The athleticism, it comes. I'm telling you, this one I'm
Well, I
watching
mean,
is pretty fucking good. I'm sending the DM to you right now.
maybe AK blindsided us with the Jason Tatum. You know, a lot of people thought Tatum was a power forward coming out of Duke.
Right.
Obviously, Tatum had a lot more exposure at Duke than Patrick Williams, and maybe AK found something crazy like that. But like you just said, I need to see him play. I can't get there and tell you that's what it is until I see at least signs of it happening, because from what I watched at FSU, he is more of a versatile big with stretch capabilities and off the dribble capabilities. But maybe we're entirely wrong. Maybe he looks that way because everybody in college is just so much smaller.
Yeah, and again, I'm kind of looking too. I'm just like, while I watch the film, he can finish with either hand. He does favor obviously the right hand, but he can finish with either hand too. So that's pretty fucking neat, man. So hopefully, like I said, I'm hoping this thing pans out and it's good. But we're just gonna have to wait and see. And we are less than a month away from NBA preseason here. We are like th 2 weeks, 3 weeks away. So I'm excited, man. NBA's gonna be back. To LeBron James's disdain in a couple weeks here, and I'm fucking stoked.
Which with the quick turnaround, I'm not going to be jumping all over Patrick. One, I don't expect him to get that much opportunity initially with Otto Porter there. But no, I'm not going to be overly critical of him. He's not going to have summer league. He's not going to have an extended preseason, extended off season. This is all going to be new to him. I'm not going to be overly critical. My overly critical point is done. That was draft night. That was my initial reaction, my initial disappointment. That really had more so to do with the lack of everything else that happened than it really did Williams himself. So hopefully the Bulls meet the expectations that we had from them last year now that they have a great coach and the semblance of some wing depth this season. And if Otto Porter and Wendell Carter both play 50-plus games, we should be right in the mix, maybe in that play-in spot to at least get some kind of meaningful game at the end of the season.
Absolutely agree with you, man. Absolutely agree. Well, it is gonna be Thanksgiving in a couple days, man. Oh, there's Ren running around out there. Thanksgiving in a couple days. Anything you are thankful for heading in to Thanksgiving, Bulls related here? Anything you're thankful for, basketball related heading into Thanksgiving?
I'm just thankful that basketball is going to be back. That's the most broad statement I can be excited about. Bulls basketball is going to be back, and we didn't know if that was going to happen at certain points throughout the year. So that's exciting. I'm just ready to watch some fucking basketball.
I am excited for. I'm thankful that Coby White is on this team, that Billy the Kid is the coach, and put my eggs in this basket. We're gonna do it again, guys. We're still gonna do episodes every week leading up to the season. Just wanted to comment on what we saw within the film of Patrick Williams, the signing of Garrett Temple, what we thought about Dotson coming home, and all that other stuff. But that's all I got, man. Is that all you got?
That's all I got for you.
Perfect. Everybody, be sure you're going to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at ontapsportsnet, at BullsOnTap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. So be sure to give us a 5-star rating and review. We'll be back sometime next week. Maybe start doing some player breakdowns. I think that'd be fun. We'll start doing some player breakdowns or something like that next week. And we'll go from there. But until then, let's go Bulls.